Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast of Valley Grove Baptist Church. We are thankful you stopped by to hear from God's Word, to grow closer to Him, and to be inspired to reach your area of influence.
So the year was 1519. 15, that's a long time ago, okay? So let's jog our memories. 1519, and one of the most seminal events in the new world, so to speak, happened in that year. Earlier in 1519, a man by the name of Hernan Cortez had taken over the governorship of the city of Veracruz in Mexico. And later in the year, he made what would arguably be one of the most important events, not of that year, but maybe of the century, when he and his band of soldiers and conquistadors decided that they would go and conquer the Aztec Empire. Now, at that time, the Aztecs were one of the most powerful civilizations in the world. They numbered in the hundreds of thousands. Their army was known as being fierce warriors, and they had pretty much conquered all of the lands that were around them, except the few little tribes here and there. And in 1519, Hernan Cortez and his conquistadors started out on a journey that would only last 2 years. And by 1521, they would have conquered the Aztec Empire, taking it over for Spain. The crazy part is that, in my opinion, it would have taken much longer than 2 years if one decision would have been different, and that decision was the first one, or one of the first ones, that Cortez made before he even started his journey. When they hit the beaches to get ready to go into go toward Tenochtitlan, which was today modern-day Mexico City, to conquer the Aztecs, Cortez made a famous statement, or involved his soldiers in a famous act. And he looked at them and said, "Hey guys, I want you to burn all of our ships. I want you to stop for a minute, okay? Now imagine you're in the 15th century. You're a Spanish person, probably stopped over at Cuba, like Cortez. You're now in Mexico, and the only way back home is on the ships, right? And your captain, your leader, says, "Hey guys, I want you to burn all of the ships. Burn them all." Now I did this week, right? So I put myself in the soldier's position. I imagine my first response was to laugh, like, "Yeah, right. That's a good one. That's a good one, dude. Yeah." And then I imagine, you know, Cortez's face didn't change. And then at some point, the soldiers realized, "Oh no, he's real." So you go from laughter to real to fear, real quick, because you realize the only way you get back home is on that boat. And he's telling you, "Burn the boats." And you're like, "I ain't burning the boats." And then he probably draws his long saber and says, "You're going to burn the boat." And you're like, "You're an idiot. Like, you're crazy. Like, what are you talking about?" But that's what happened. They burned all their boats. So what does that mean? That means no retreat, no return. Listen to me. No resupply. We're either going to make it, or we're going to make it. That's the only option we got, right? And as a result, Cortez and his men, they burn all their ships. And in two short years, they have taken out one of the most powerful empires in the world at that time. 2 years, right? Yes, they lost people. Yes, some of their people died. But the overwhelming odds, or the overwhelming defeat, was insurmountable. Yes, they had help along the way from people who didn't like the Aztecs. But no matter what you think of Cortez, you may think he's a hero, you may think he's an influential factor. Some people probably think, you know, he's the evil face of imperialism and all this kind of stuff. Whatever you think of Cortez doesn't matter as much. I mean, it does, but it doesn't really. You have to admit that his decision to burn the ships was monumental in their success. Because Cortez realized something. If we have these ships sitting at this beach the entire time and we go beat our way through the jungle, everybody will be thinking, "Let's just go back to the boats." Right? And isn't that really kind of what our life is like? We have these relationships, or we have these things in our life. We have these issues or these people that we hang around with that we're trying to move forward in our relationship with God. Remember, our goal this year is to move closer to Christ this year, to bring somebody along with us. And so we're trying our best to do this. You know, Jesus says that road that leads to righteousness and heaven and faith and following after Him is narrow, and it's straight and it's narrow, right? And we're trying to walk that straight and narrow, but, you know, sometimes it gets real narrow, right? It's like the mountains on this side and the cliffs on this side, right? Y'all ever drove in the mountains? Yeah, I have. Busload of teenagers. A lot of fun. It was either the mountain or the mountain, right? And, you know, sometimes it gets hard. And if we're not careful, we allow ourselves to put these little things up in our lives that allow us to say, well, you know what? If it gets too hard ahead, I'll just turn around and come back here because this is safe and I know this. And if we don't get these things out of our lives, if we don't burn the personal ships in our lives, we'll never make it to the end of the journey. We'll never go as far as we could have gone. Like, so we never hear, listen to me, the reality is we never hear about Cortez if they leave the ships and they only make it halfway. You do realize that. His name is not in the history books. You don't learn about him in school. Why? Because he didn't do anything. He didn't finish his goal. He didn't accomplish his goal. He didn't finish his journey. But because he made the difficult decision to burn the ships and go all in, he made it. And he conquered his goal. Right? And that's what we've got to do in our lives. Look, we're already a month into 2020. We're already a month in. And some of us made some great resolutions of the year. We started out hot out of the box. And now we're like, rrr, rrr. And we're back in the same old ruts, right? Yeah, come on. And some of us, we've got to burn the ships in our lives that we've created so that we can continue going forward in our lives, so that we can reach the goal that God has for us. So what I want to do over the next several weeks is I want to highlight just a few of these, what I think things we deal with in our lives that if we're not careful, we create these safe havens that keep us from going all in for God. Here's the first one I want to talk to you about today. Bad company. Bad company. Now, if some of you were 70s hard rockers, you may remember, or early 80s, that was a rock group. Right? Had the song by the same name, self-titled song. I see, got some bad company people. Or, for those of you who are a little younger, you might remember that Five Finger Death Punch. Anybody? What? Oh, come on, man. Yes. They covered Bad Company's self-titled song, Bad Company. It's really good. Two completely different styles. You should go check out Five Finger Death Punch. Look, it's got a very good tribute video. Has anybody seen that song? Anybody? Come on. Yes. Yes. All right, we have one maybe. Maybe one or two. Y'all just don't. I understand. Y'all are modest. You don't want to admit that you've listened to it. It's okay. It's okay. It's a really good song. But anyway, so we want to talk about Bad Company. No, we're not going to talk about the song or the group or whichever group sang it best, but we will talk about the idea of bad company. And in Proverbs 1, 8 through 19, Solomon gives his son, in the opening proverb of this book, a great little small sermonette on what to do with bad company when bad people are trying to influence your life. So normally we would read the entire set of verses and then we talk about it. But what I want to do today is kind of talk about verses 1 through 10 together. And then we want to talk about verses 11 through 14 and then 15 through 19. Okay? So let's begin reading in verse number 8 and 9. Let's start there. Solomon says, "Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching, for they are graceful garland for your head and pendants for your necks." Now, I want you to note the very first word of this. He says, what is it? Hear. So what is that telling us? We need to listen up, because whatever Solomon is going to say is going to be worthwhile and valuable. Right? So whatever comes next, Solomon absolutely wants all of us kids, wants us to listen to what he's saying. Because he says, if we listen to what he's saying, he says, they will be like graceful garlands around your head and pendants around your neck. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not a jewelry person. So the idea of graceful garlands around my head and pendants around my neck seemed a little odd. I'm just going to be honest. Ladies, you might be okay with that. It seemed a little odd to me. So I had to look in my commentary and see, all right, what is he talking about? Real jewelry? What's he talking about? What I found out this week is that in Solomon's time, that phrase there, graceful garlands and pendants around your neck, was a symbol for wisdom, health, and prosperity. So kids, listen to me. Teenagers, young adults, listen to me. Solomon is saying, if you will do what I say, you'll live a long time and you'll be prosperous. And one day, maybe you'll be wise. Right? Now, don't we all want wealth? I mean, wisdom, health, and prosperity? As adults, I know that's what I want. And so Solomon is saying, if you'll listen to what I'm going to say, one day you'll have wisdom, health, and prosperity. Right? So can we say whatever's going to happen next is pretty important, right? So read verse 10 with me. And here's the key line for the entire passage. My son, people, if sinners entice you, do not consent. Now listen, I love Solomon's choice of words. I love the choice of words. Entice. Entice means to, this is my favorite definition for it. It means to make room for. To make room for. Now you need to remember that. We're going to come back to that later. To make room for. To be open to make room for. Consent means to breathe after. Right? So what is Solomon saying? He said, my son, if sinners are make room for you, don't even breathe after them. Because here's what's going to happen. Kids, this is number one on your outline. Kids, evildoers will try to entice you with good sounding words. You ever had that happen in your life, adults? Somebody tried to entice you with good sounding words. Man, it sounded good on the front end. And then you got into it and realized, I'm in some bad company. Right? Because this is exactly what Solomon says. Read along with me, verses 11 through 14. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait, let us ambush the innocent without reason. Like Sheol, which is like hell, let us follow them alive and whole. Like those who go down to the pit, we shall find all precious goods. We shall fill our houses with plunder. Throw in your lot among us. We will have one purse. Let me kind of boil that down. Here's what their pitch is. Here's what they're trying to sell you. Here's their good sounding words. Hey, look, we're going to go do this thing. And even though we know this thing is wrong, look at what we're going to get out of it. Look at all of the stuff we're going to get. And look, you don't have this stuff. And you need this stuff. And so we're going to do this action. Yeah, it might be a little wrong. But look at all that we'll gain. And so what is evildoers' goal? It's unjust gain. So what is all this? Think about it. Think about it. Go back to your life. When you've been in bad company, when you've been around bad people, what are they really trying to do? They're trying to gain something that they didn't work for, don't deserve, or didn't earn. Right? You ever been in a relationship where somebody's trying to gain something from you they haven't earned? They haven't earned the right to have, but they're trying to get it anyway. You ever done business with somebody or, you know, had that friend, you know, who said, hey, cover me while I go do this. And whatever this was, they didn't earn, they didn't deserve, or they hadn't worked for. That's unjust gain. That's exactly. Because look, I know y'all are. We're all pretty much good people, pretty much, you know. And so I'm sure nobody at work ever come up to you and said, hey, you see Bubba over there in the corner? How are we going to get him after work today anyway? You know, he's got a new truck, new Chevrolet truck. Chevrolet truck, not a Ford. Chevrolet. He's got 3 4-wheelers, a new boat, a new RV, and he's got one of them 4K Ultra UHD TVs you've been wanting, man. So we're going to get, let's go to his house. We'll wait for him out. We'll get him in the parking lot. Nobody's ever said that to you. But you know what bad company has said to you? Now, they haven't said this. They haven't said this overtly. Because most of the time, bad company isn't overt. It's covert. Right? It's not overt. It's covert. Right? It means it's hidden. Because they sound good on the front end, but then you get into it, and what they're really asking you to do is kill your integrity. No. They're not asking you to kill somebody. They just want you to murder your own integrity or your own character or maybe your own marriage or maybe your own job. Right? Just fudge the numbers on this spreadsheet. Nobody will know. Right? The investors won't know. The company won't. Nobody will find out. Remember, I'm the CFO. Right? We'll do this together. Right? So yeah, they're not asking you to kill anybody per se. But they're saying, hey, come over here. Hey, look here. Look, let's do this. And if we're not careful, we get tied up into their whatever they're trying to pull off, and we get emotionally attached. And at that moment, when we get emotionally attached and emotionally invested to something we haven't earned or worked for or gained, legally or the right way, we create this little harbor for ourselves to come back to and to come back to and to come back to. Because here's what happens. Listen to me. As we're walking the straight and narrow, sometimes it gets tough. And sometimes we skin our knees. And sometimes people might say bad things to us. And we get emotionally, like we feel as if we don't have whatever emotional response was created by this scenario over here. And so you know what we do? As we're walking this way, we think, you know what? I felt really loved back here. Or I felt really in control. Or I felt like I really had everything that I needed. And we're walking this way, but all of a sudden, it gets tough over here. And so we retreat back over here because we need the emotional fix of what's back here. Now, we're not doing drugs, but we are because we're hot. We need the fix of the emotions that's right over here. And so instead of going with the Lord and sticking to it and being all in, we've created this little spot for us to come back to. And in our minds, we know if it gets too hard, if it takes too long, if I can't do everything, I'll just come back here. And I'll just come back here. And I'm encouraging you that you need to burn that sucker to the ground. Because it is keeping you, it is hindering you from going forward with the Lord. There are some people in your life. There are some things in your life you absolutely need to burn to the ground because they are bad company in your life. I don't know who it is. I don't know what it is. I know this is going to be tough. You might need to get off social media because you get an emotional fix. When you see that crazy person on, you know, that you're as one teenager once said, you're frenemies with. Y'all know what that is, right? Yeah. A frenemy is a friend and an enemy at the same time. So they're a frenemy. Y'all never heard that before. Frenemy. You need to learn that. Because some of y'all, adults, y'all got frenemies in your life. They're loosely friends, but you love when they post something stupid on Facebook because it gives you this rush of endorphins and you can't help but respond. You're like a kindergartner. Oh, candy! Right? But you're emotionally attached to this bat, and there's this thing on Facebook called block. Like, it's okay to block somebody on Facebook. It really is. It's not going to hurt you. It's Facebook. Come on. You block, you know why? Because you don't need that bad company in your life, because the moment you're starting to go where you need to go, guess what? Scrolls on your Facebook, their stupidity. Right? Or maybe you just don't like them. And what they say is perfectly fine. And you need to get that. You need to burn that ship to the ground. Because it is hindering you from going forward. And let me tell you what's going to happen if you don't burn the ships of bad company. Here's what Solomon says. Let's read verses 15 through 19. He says, my son, don't even walk in the way after them. Hold your foot from their paths, for their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. For in vain is a net spread in the sight of any bird, but these men lie in wait for their own blood. Do you hear that? Listen, but these men lie in wait for their own blood. They set an ambush for their own lives. Such are the ways of everyone who is greedy for unjust gain. It takes away the life of its possessors. Did you hear what bad company will do in your life? If you keep it around long enough, you go from setting a trap for someone else to setting a trap for yourself. Right? Did you hear what it says in the end? People who hang around bad company and are enticed, who make room for evildoers and bad company in their life, in the end, that possesses them. They never take possession of it. It consumes them. You ever known somebody like that? Right? That they started out in this one thing and this one thing and this one thing, and they're like, oh, I can deal with it, I can deal with it, I can deal with it, and they never deal with it, and it becomes all-consuming in their life. That's exactly what Solomon says will happen if we do not burn the ship of bad company in our own life, that we will never possess it. It will possess us, and it will ultimately take us out one way or another. Right? And so what does Solomon say we need to do with bad company in our life? Remember that word? Remember that word at the very beginning? Consent. Word consent means don't even breathe after. In verse 15, Solomon says, don't even put a foot after. Let me tell you what that means. Solomon is saying, when someone comes up to you and tries to entice or make room for you to do evil, he says, listen, don't breathe one breath after them. Don't, listen to me, don't put one foot, not even one foot, down their path. That means when that person comes up to you, say, not today. And you turn the other way. He says, don't even take one. Don't even go, let me think about that. No, not even that. He says, don't breathe one breath. That's how serious he is. Don't breathe one breath. Not even one foot. Run the other way. Why? Because if you don't, you and I both know what's going to happen. The longer you linger, the more likely you are to engage. Right? The longer you linger, the more likely you are to engage. So Solomon says, don't even breathe one breath. Don't even put one foot down. Run the other way. So I'm going to give you a couple things as we close today. A couple thoughts of application, so to speak. If you were saying, Travis, what can I do with this tomorrow in my own life? Number one, I would say this, be cautious who you make room for. Right? What's that old saying, you know, I heard this growing, it's kind of, when you say it, it's kind of like, oh gosh. You know, if you run with dogs, you get fleas, right? Well, you know, I'm not trying to call people dogs and fleas, but anyway, the idea is the people, listen to me kids, especially kids, listen to me, the people you hang out with will affect your life. And they will affect the decisions you need to make. So listen to me. Adults, same goes for you and me. Who we make room for in our life will drastically affect the direction of our life. Who you're friends with and who you allow in your circle will influence you in one way or another. And that can be toward God or away from Him. So be careful who you make room for. And number two, it's really simple. We just said it. When confronted by bad company, don't breathe one breath after them. You don't have to linger. Nobody is keeping you in that situation. You have every right and every ability through Jesus Christ with the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to turn the other way. You don't have to stay there long. You can run. And that would be my encouragement to you. So here's your challenge for this week. Here's your challenge. Be introspective. Be introspective and ask yourself if you have any bad company laying around. Ask yourself if you have any bad company laying around. And then number two, what do you need to do? You need to burn that sucker to the ground. That's your challenge this week. You need to be introspective first. You need to ask yourself, do I have any bad company, any bad things in my life laying around that I've kind of deposited strategically so if things don't work out, I can run back, I can retreat. So ask yourself, do I have any bad company? And when you realize you do, if you realize you do, you need to burn that sucker to the ground because I am telling you, it will only hinder you. in the future. And you will not make it as far as God wants you to make it if you leave those things lying around. All right? Be introspective. Ask yourself if you've got any. Two, if you find out you do, burn them to the ground. All right? Pray with me today. Lord, thank you for a wonderful day already. Lord, we look forward to a great time in the eating and sharing a meal together in just a few minutes. Lord, we thank you for the grace to be here today. Lord, I thank you for each and every person who's here. I thank you, Lord, what you're doing in their heart and their life. And Lord, I pray that you would continue, Lord, to mold and make them into your image. But Lord, in order to do that, some of us are going to have to make difficult decisions. Some of us are going to have to make decisions to get rid of some things in our lives, to burn the ships of bad company. And Lord, I don't know who they are, and I don't know what it is or what thing it is or what group of friends or what person it is. But Lord, each of us have the propensity to have bad company hanging around in our life. And so, Lord, I pray, Lord, that we would get rid of that bad company. Lord, that we would burn it to the ground so that we can be totally all in, focused on serving you and moving closer to you this year. So, Lord, whatever decision we need to make this morning, Lord, help us to do it. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening. For more information about Valley Grove, visit our Facebook page or website, valleygrovechurch.org.